Christus and Esti. Christ is risen. So in the 50 days, we hear always the gospel from St. John, and today is not an exception. And the theme for all these Sundays is about resurrection and life. Last week with the Thomas Sunday, and this week we are talking about I am the bread of life, so still talking about life. And next week will be I am the water of life. So today's gospels in Vesper, Matins, and in the liturgy, actually from chapter 6 of St. John. So because of the topic is about I am the bread of life, Abuna asked me to talk about the mystery of the Eucharist or the Holy Communion. So the word Eucharist is, as all the other Greek words, like it's a Greek, as all the other words, so it means thanksgiving. But the original meaning is really thanksgiving for a very precious gift or grace that God gives us. And the Holy Communion, or the mystery of the Eucharist, is the most precious grace or gift that we can receive from God. So I'm going to focus on 3 points. I'm going to spend a little bit more on the first one, and then if we have time, we can go to the second and third. So the first one is talking about why the Holy Eucharist is important for our salvation and how it relates to the Tree of Life. Second one is our belief as the Church in the Holy Eucharist, as the true body and blood of Christ. And the third one is not about how to prepare for communion, but it's how the Holy Liturgy prepares us for communion. So I'll start by why the Holy Eucharist is important for our salvation. So the Holy Eucharist is the mystical drama of our salvation. It conveys everything when it comes to our salvation from the beginning to the end. It conveys everything about Christ's passion and resurrection. So His Grace Bishop Raphael explained this in a very simple way. He had this fictional story about a son and a dad. And the father had this bottle, and he told the dad, be very careful. This looks like juice. It's not. It has toxic material in it, so please don't drink it. And he put it on the fridge, so out of the reach of the kid. So as any of our kids would do, he became very curious, the kid, and he was thirsty, so he started and he said, okay, he got a chair from the dining table, he got the bottle, and he started to drink. The father comes back, and he finds the situation. As many of our parents in the church, he was a pharmacist, so he had this magical pill, a very small pill that he knows it will be able to treat this toxic material. And he gave the kid this pill. For the second time, the kid didn't believe his dad. How come this very small pill will have all this effect? But he had no other option. So this time he said, forgive me, and he believed him, and he took the pill. So the moral of the story basically is exactly what happened to us starting from the creation. We always go to Adam and Eve. And as you know, Adam and Eve, before they fell, they were living in love, peace, and purity. Most importantly, they were created on the image of God, in His likeness. And God gave them power over the whole creation. He always had the plan for them to have an eternal life, to live forever. And He gave them access to the Tree of Life. So in Genesis 2, you have this very panoramic view or beautiful picture showing how the Garden of Eden looked like. So from Genesis 2, 8 to 10, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So every single tree in the garden was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became 4 riverheads. So as we all know, God gave them the commandment not to eat from all the trees except one tree, the tree of knowledge, which, as we just heard, it wasn't a bad tree. All the trees were good. They were just not ready to eat from this tree. And this tree was test for them to test their obedience. So when the pride entered man, and he thought that eating from the tree will change his nature to become like God, knowing evil and good, the opposite happened to him. he lost his communion with God. So Adam and Eve realized they are naked. They covered themselves with the leaves of the tree. But these leaves didn't help them in any way, as we knew from the Holy Week last 2 weeks ago. Then God asked if they ate from the tree. Adam said that Eve tricked me. And in turn, Eve blamed the serpent, and everyone lost unity. And the nature of man got corrupted with sin and death. And death means we're going to be separated from God. So we lost union and communion with God, and we lost the access to the tree of life. And in Genesis, it goes like this. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And so from this moment, so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So now he lost the access to the tree of life. And we know how the story went after this. Evil started to spread. Cain killed Abel. Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. So at the time, everyone was vegetarian. You may ask yourself what Abel was doing with his career as a shepherd. There was no market for that. But as a shepherd, Abel was able to offer an acceptable sacrifice, but Cain didn't. And that relates a little bit to the gospel that we heard in meetings today, when God commanded us to not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. So actually, Cain labored for the food which perishes, but Abel dedicated his life to the food and the sacrifice. After Cain killed Abel, he was scared, and he was worried that people would kill him, and we see how the second generation of humanity was in deep state of corruption. So sin leads to corruption, and it wasn't just a matter of forgiving sins. There has to be a solution. There has to be a medication. And the solution has to have blood, because blood was necessary to have life. So in Leviticus, you hear this: for the life of the flesh is the blood. So life of any animal or creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make the atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwell among you eat blood. So now we know how the story goes. God came down and he was incarnate. He was fully human and fully God at the same time. And his humanity and divinity were united together. And that was very important. Since the divinity is the source of life, it gave also to his flesh to become the source of life when we partake from it. So when we partake of the body and blood of Christ, we eat of the source of life. We might have this poison or toxic material that led to our corruption, but this corruption inside of us, which can lead us to this, but God gave us the medication. He gave us his blood, his life to eat. And when we eat his body and blood, we regain life. That is what God explained in John 6:53 to 55. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And Sanserud of Alexandria explains this by saying, "So by eating the flesh of the Savior of us all, Christ, and by drinking his precious blood, we have life in ourselves and form to be one with him and remain in him, having him even within ourselves." This is why the early church fathers, including St. Ignatius of Antioch, called the Holy Eucharist the medicine of immortality. So if you go about 10 days ago, we remember on the Holy Service Day, the mystical supper where when God instituted the Holy Communion. On this day, the source of life broke his own body and gave his own life-giving blood. He established the Holy Eucharist as the medicine to heal our corrupted nature and to give us back access to the tree of life. So, you know, in Matthew, he said he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciple and said, take, eat, this is my body, and then this is my blood. And then in the Holy Week, Friday comes, or Friday Eve, he went to Gethsemane, and he went through the whole journey of the cross on Friday. On bright Saturday, the scene started to change a little bit, and the church explicitly started to reveal to us the connection between the tree of life and his divine body and true blood. So we hear Abuna in the fraction on bright Saturday saying, you have come, our master, and saved us through the true knowledge of your cross. And he will say then, and granted us the tree of life, which is your divine body and true blood. And when we read about that tree of life, we read about it more in the bright Saturday, because we read the whole book of Revelation on the bright Saturday. And the tree of life is mentioned a few times in the book of Revelation. So in chapter 2, it talks about, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So again, here we see heaven, and again, the same scene happening again. The tree of life is, Christ himself is in the midst of the heaven. And he talks about the access, how we gain back access. So he says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now we go back almost to Genesis 2, and the book of Revelation gives us the same panoramic picture that we saw in Genesis 2. And it goes like this. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, exactly what we saw in Genesis 2. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. So that reminds us with the tree, with the leaves that Adam and Eve used to cover themselves, that didn't help them much. And now this leaves of the tree of life helped them by giving them healing to the whole nations. So that's the link of why we read the gospel about the holy bread and how it gives us life. Our church believes in the Holy Eucharist. And another example from His Grace Bishop Raphael, he was talking about also, imagine if this happened. An outbreak of deadly virus happened. There was no proven treatment for it. So all the drug companies started to race to find a vaccine. After billions of dollars and many clinical trials and FDA approvals, the vaccine was found. And they started doing whole marketing campaigns about, okay, now we found the solution. With a small footprint, but the vaccine is not available. So that's exactly what happens when we think about the Holy Communion and we don't believe this is the true body and blood of Christ. We believe that the Eucharist is the sacrament of all sacraments in which the faithful receive the body and blood of Christ. Our church believes that the bread and wine exchange into the body and blood of Christ by the descent of the Holy Spirit through the prayers of the Divine Liturgy. So this didn't start in the 8th or 9th century. We find the early fathers from the 2nd century talking about this as a fact. So St. Justine, the martyr of 2nd century, writes, we have been taught that the food which has been made into the Eucharist by the Eucharistic prayer set down by him and which through its exchange nourishes our flesh and blood is both the flesh and blood of the incarnate Christ. And then we find so many, sayings from the early fathers about the Holy Communion. And one of, the quotes were more about what happened exactly or how we can understand what happened when the bread and wine turned into body and blood. So that's from St. John of Damascus. And he said, and now you ask how the bread becomes the body of Christ and the wine and the water becomes the blood of Christ. I shall tell you. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and achieves things which surpasses every word and thought. Let it be enough for you to understand that this takes place by the Holy Spirit. So with all of this, if we have a full understanding of what the Holy Communion means, it becomes very hard to approach the Holy Communion. It's like a surgery. And sometimes you are not prepared for the surgery. Imagine if you, any of us, God forbid, has to go through a major surgery. And then you go in the hospital, in the elevator. You see the surgeon and you say, okay, I'm busy. I have a meeting in 15 minutes. Can we get done with it in 15 minutes? And also the Holy Communion is a unity, is a wedding. And we all prepare for weddings. For me, I thought I'll just show up on my wedding date, 15 minutes early, hopefully, and I'll be all fine. My wife had this, actually, project plan 18 months before the wedding. Every month, we have many tasks that we had to take care of. So I learned the hard way that these things we have to prepare for. So we have all the preparation for communion. All the general rules that the church gave us with fast, self-examination, confession, being at peace with others, arriving at divine services on time. And this is, I guess, the one which I always fail to do, arriving to the divine liturgy on time. And this also his grace Bishop Raphael talked about a little bit. And he said, we all guilty of this because we don't understand what happens in the holy divine liturgy and how actually it sanctifies us to receive the Holy Communion. And he talked about 4 points and how the Holy Liturgy sanctifies us to receive the Holy Communion. It's worship, readings, the Holy Spirit, and also the repentance. So first, worship. So the prayers in the liturgy is very powerful. So Abuna, when he talks or when he asks for the bread to turn into his truly body, he says that one time, and it just happens. So all these prayers and the worship and the Holy Liturgy is very powerful. And as Abuna, when he prays that the bread and wine becomes true body and true blood, also these prayers help sanctify us. And then the readings. We have 9 readings. So we have 3 psalms, 3 gospels, starting from Vesper, Matins, and in the liturgy. Then we have the Pauline, the Catholic Apostle, and the Acts. And all these readings are for edification, but not only for edification, but also for sanctification. And that's why we read in John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So the word of God cleans us. And then there is the concept of individual repentance. So each one of us will repent on his own, but the church also give us the collective repentance. So the collective repentance, there are so many things happen in the liturgy that I wasn't aware of, that they are happening. So I'm aware that we say, Lord, have mercy so many times, and we say all these things. But also there are parts of the liturgy that we are getting the chance to do this collective repentance. For example, when the deacon says, bow your heads before the Lord, this is where everyone should ask for forgiveness. Another place is actually when the Abuna actually goes around in the church in the offering of incense. And we are supposed also to do our own repentance at this time, and Abuna takes all of our sins and repentance to the altar. And the last thing is the invocation of the Holy Spirit. And this is where actually the bread and wine get it changed or converted to the blood and the body and the blood of Christ. And this when the deacon says, worship God in fear and trembling, and we bow down and sing, we praise you, we bless you, we serve you. So at the same time, us as congregation also we get the sanctification. So there are so many opportunities that God gave us actually become more ready for the communion. Because everything we're going to do in our own would help us, but really to be worthy to take the communion, we need his grace. May he give us the understanding of how to approach his holy mysteries and make us worthy to partake of his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins.
We want to thank you so much for listening to St. Basil's podcast. We hope that you have gained spiritually from our remarkable speakers, and we appreciate your support towards this podcast. St. Basil American Coptic Orthodox Church is looking to purchase a home, and we would love for you to be a part of our community. We are looking to raise funds towards this novel mission, Orthodoxy in an American Context within the San Diego area. You may donate online through our website, www.stbasil.net, that's www.stbasil.net, or click on the link below and it will take you to our donations page. You may also mail in your contribution at the address located on our website. We thank you for any contribution, and may our Lord Jesus Christ always bless your heart and home.